Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Derek knew I was practicing a little bit because I must have shared it with him at some point. Ship Ahoy, number 210. But coming down from the choir up here, he said, he pointed to number 210 in the hymnal and said, "When are you going to sing that?" And I said, "Derek, I sang it today in the first hour, in the first service." See, when you miss church, you don't know. Even if it's the first early service, you have no idea. And I said, and then he said, on the way down, he said, "Well, you already practiced that, but it wouldn't hurt you to do it again." Nope, not going to do it. It was the first hour this morning. That was it. That's too much pressure on me. I just let that go, all right? Besides, next time I do it, I want to do it with Brittany playing the piano. So you can kind of fill in the bad spots. Where I go flat and stuff and go sharp, you kind of help bring me back, all right? And do you believe this? Pastor Josh critiqued the gospel song that I sang this morning afterwards. He said, "Here's how you could do that a little bit better." And I'm looking, I'm thinking, you're critiquing me? My music? Are you kidding me? Anyway, I'll think about it. I'll think about what you said, all right? It might work. It might. I love the Upper Peninsula. I do. I love the UP. I heard something this week, and I thought, man, I'll twist it around. I'll use that for the UP because I'm a Uper. I mean, top to bottom, inside and out, forward and backward. Everywhere I go, I let people know that. I preach the good news of the Upper Peninsula. Everybody, every place I go, they think the Upper Peninsula is that close to heaven. And after I get done leaving there, some of them, their goal is when they retire to move to the Upper Peninsula. So I feel like I've done my job when that happens, you know. And so I am. I heard this week, and I'm gonna make it work for the Upper Peninsula. And it's true. I'm a Uper by birth, and I'm a Uper by doctrine. I like that. I like that. That didn't seem to impress you as much as it did me, but I like that. A Uper by doctrine. Man, I can make that fit. As children of God, just ought to thank God where you're at and bloom and do the best you can for God where he's put you and quit looking for the... right from the beginning, right in the garden, the grass is greener on the other side. That's what the devil has always said. Always said that. Eve, you know, Eve, quit chasing rainbows and serve God right now and love him and commit to him. Pastor Josh preached a great power-packed message this morning. Man, it's good. I'd let him preach the same message right now. I mean, you gotta commit right now. Confidence in God and courage. And that was a great message on Caleb. I greatly enjoyed that. It was drew me closer to the Lord. And in the Upper Peninsula, we got an opportunity. Now, I did a funeral yesterday, and I met some people I haven't seen in a long time. I met a cousin. I hadn't seen her in a long, long time, almost since we were teenagers. And I also met another lady there. I pointed her out to some people there. In sixth grade, I went through a traumatic experience at Sioux Township School. Right in front of the north end of what was the elementary school. I don't know how it's laid out now, but the doors that open up towards the east. A sixth grade girl beat the fire out of me in front of the whole school. It got to the place. I was the man in sixth grade. I was the man. It got to the place where it seemed like everybody, it was right at the end of recess, so we were all lined up to go in, and everybody was all, I don't know where those teachers were. Somebody should have rescued me, but they didn't. And every time I went at her, she just kind of threw me like a rag doll, just kind of threw me off to the side. It was like, "Come on, Tim, come on." I got up, all my buddies are there, and I charged her again. She just threw me like a rag doll. It was highly embarrassing. I'm still scarred. Here's the deal. No, there's a just God in heaven. This is how it worked. Last day of school. This God is my witness. This is exactly how it worked. Last day of school, we're playing softball out behind the school. She's over by the swing set over there. I got a hold of one, got a good solid hit, went way out there. It was a home run. I'm rounding second base, and I look out there, and it hit her right on top of the head. And she was kind of the class bully. She kind of flunked a few years, you know, and she turned around. She's looking to see who did that. And I hit her right on top of the head, rounded third base, both hands in the air like that, went over home plate, right on into the school doors, right into the school and protection. And that's how I ended my school year. Now, here's what happened yesterday. I'm getting ready to go up and preach, and I look out, and there she is. I started to sweat. I'm bigger than she is now. But back then, man, she cleaned my clock. I tell everybody everywhere I go, every chance I can, you know, I'm from the UP where men are men and so are the women. And she's living proof of that. She really is. God's good to me. He's been good to me all my life. I want to testify. I want you to know that. My God is a great God. My God is a God that meets me. I wouldn't trade what God has given me for anything in the world. Everything. I'd trade it all in order to receive him. We're going to look at the last three parables of the seven parables that Jesus preached. He preached four of them by the seashore, and then the last three he preached inside the house to the disciples, and he taught them and gave them the interpretation of what these parables were about, and I just want you to know, they're all about the good news. Now, these are what are called kingdom parables. You understand that, I think, by now, and I understand that. These are parables that teach truths concerning the millennial reign of Christ. Not a problem. And a direct application to the Church of Jesus Christ. Bible principles that fit us to a T. Where God separates the wheat from the tares. God knows who's really saved, even here in the church age. And there are people that come to church and they carry their Bible and they have all the outward trimmings, but they're not born again. There are people that come to church with mom and dad and they've come here all of their life, but they're not really saved. They've never had a salvation experience. Now, know this. God is merciful, and God will save you today. The only prerequisite to God's mercy is repentance. And if you're in a family, you're a boy, you're a junior, you're sis, or you're an adult, and you've never repented, you've never called upon God for salvation, even though you said some words, and in your heart, it never happened, then you're not born again. And Jesus is going to separate the wheat from the tares. Now, that refers to saved and unsaved people at the end of the millennial kingdom. I understand that, but and the church is going to be raptured, but in that sense, they'll be separated. Now we come to these last three parables. And I want you to understand this is speaking of the gospel. They're in the house. Let's read the first one. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure. There's no better way to picture the gospel. It's a treasure. It's precious. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. The picture is a man that's looking at property, and he finds the mother lode. Man, there is gold everywhere on that field. So he goes and sells everything he has in order to purchase that field, that treasure, the gospel. You don't have to buy the gospel. The Bible says we're not saved by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. But the picture is simply this. The gospel is precious. It is precious. It is a jewel. It is a gem. It's more valuable than anything I own. This casual Christianity doesn't wash with God. That doesn't. You get saved, you get born again, you've got a treasure in earthen vessels. Hey, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians and chapter 4. That's going to be 2 Corinthians. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 5 through 7. Man, when you get saved, you're in love with God. Remember the day you got born again? If you really got born again, you were sky high. Man, all your sins are forgiven. All that burden is lifted off your shoulders. Man, it was the best day of your life. That's precious. That's a treasure. Last Sunday morning, three men got saved here. Last Sunday morning, men came from different parts of the auditorium to walk the aisle, to receive Jesus as their Savior. It's precious. Yesterday I did the funeral. I walked into that funeral, and I knew Al Hatch pretty good, and I knew Joyce Hatch pretty good, and I walked into that funeral, and I probably only knew 10, 12 people there, and I looked around and saw all kinds of people I didn't know, except for that one lady, but all kinds of people I didn't know, and I was excited. I'm telling you what, anybody that was there, I'm going to tell Jesus, I'm going to tell these people about Jesus and how they can have their sins forgiven. I knew there was going to be a great harvest before I even started to preach. And so when I got up to preach, man, it was wonderful. And And I asked for people that have received Christ, and I prayed the sinner's prayer to look at me. And at the beginning, one person looked. And then the second person looked. It was just like this, and it was right over here. And then another one back there. And before they were done, every third person in the funeral home, they were looking right at me, had received Christ as their Savior. People came up to me afterwards and thanked me. And people come up to me afterwards and ask where the church was. And what an opportunity, the gospel. You know what happened yesterday afternoon? People went to a funeral home as dead men and left alive, spiritually alive, born again. What a wonderful truth. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. And here we are in Matthew in chapter 13, and Jesus is telling us that gospel message, that death, burial, and resurrection, that Savior that came to this earth for sinners, that's a treasure. That's priceless. He spoke in a parable. He said, that's like a man that walks some property and finds treasure on that property. He goes home as quick as he can and sells everything he has in order to purchase that property. It's priceless. The gospel. It's called good news. The gospel. Don't let it become casual. Don't take Jesus for granted. You ought to be like this man walking that field, willing to trade everything for that treasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul said, we have the treasure of the gospel in this earthen vessel we call the human body. So I'm standing before you here this morning, and I'm 221 pounds. I checked this morning so I knew what to say. 221 pounds, an earthen vessel. That's all I am. A sinner man. That's all I am. But inside this earthen vessel is a treasure. It's precious. It's the living God. The gospel. I carry it with me. The good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. If you were dying of cancer and someone found a miracle cure and you were given that miracle cure, you would pay anything that you own in order to receive that serum or that pill, that cure. The gospel is bigger than that. Mount Calvary is the biggest hill on earth. There on that mountain, the Son of God shed his blood to make blood atonement so that sinners can go to heaven. And so many people are that close to the truth, and they just have not put it all together, and we got to share that gospel. Let's go to the second parable back in Matthew in chapter 13. The gospel is precious. By the way, as far as a vision and what needs to be done, and we're spreading out over two morning services right now, we got room to grow. We got room to grow right now in the 11 o'clock service. Empty chair over there, several of them. Empty part of a pew there. Whole front pew right here on this side, right here in the middle is empty. We got room that we could put more people in here now that we got these two morning services, and we got to grow. We got to work at it. Don't just show up yourself. Man, be part of the ministry. Get involved. The gospel's precious. But you know, today in the state of Michigan, only 26% of the population of Michigan ever go to church. You talk about a mission field? 26%. 6 out of 10 millennials word it this way: I have no time for God. For the first time, this is the largest generation in U.S. history, saying no to God. Someone has to tell them. We have a treasure that is precious. I heard this week. I saw this week. And I share it with you right now. After all God has done for you, are you still complaining? After all God has done, You're still complaining? Oh, and the gospel message. It's precious. Look at verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found the pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This pearl, this jewel, this gem is of untold wealth. It's priceless. He's talking about Jesus. New lives for old. Riches for rags. Life for death. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king. We get life in Christ. What a God. What a gospel. Could there be any better news? God has made a way for Tim Rader, a sinner of 59 years, to go to God's heaven. It is a priceless gift. Verse 45 says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man, a merchant man, seeking goodly pearls. He's seeking. There are people today seeking. And the gospel, when it's understood, many times they get born again. Verse 46 again says, and who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. A jewel of great value. He traded everything for it. There's a theme here. You hear what Jesus is saying. Nothing is as important as the salvation of your soul. Nothing. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He is no fool who loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. When you get Jesus, when you get salvation, nothing compares to that in wealth. This is the sixth parable that Jesus is teaching. And I was thinking this week about what God has done here at Fundamental Baptist Church and what we have. And how we're spreading out and how more and more is getting done. More people are involved in the goodness of God to Tim Rader, who doesn't deserve any of it. And this priceless pearl. And people are identifying with God and growing in grace. You know, in the last 14 months, three families have moved back that left and moved back. And they left because, and to a man, this is what they've told me, and I'll paraphrase for some of them, but you know, all that money wasn't worth having our family away from this ministry. And they moved back and took lesser jobs. I know this for a fact. And I won't name them, I won't embarrass them. There's a man in our congregation that turned down a six-figure salary 2 weeks ago to keep his family in this church. His boss was shocked. What? They wanted to promote him. And he told them why. He was staying. It's a pearl of great price. There's nobody like Jesus. And there are people hungry for the truth. They're looking. They want it. And God has put you here and me here to get the truth out. I was thinking this morning, I don't know how this fits in my outline, but talking about the goodness of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, I was thinking about different people in our church that have gotten born again and the lives that God has salvaged and the life that He took you from. And because you received Christ, you were born again, you become a new creature. I think of two men, and I've heard both of their salvation testimonies, but thinking about two men that I think they were at hunting camp. As Mike and Glenn, that's as far as I don't want to mention their last names because we're on the radio, and that might put them on the spot. You know, Mike Babcock and Glenn Tompkins. But how over a beer they kind of challenged one another to attend this church because they heard the gospel. They heard me preach at a funeral somewhere, and one of them said the other one said, you know, I'll go to that church if you'll go to that church. And they kind of challenged one another, and man, that's how they got here. God gloriously in his goodness reaches down and saves sinners and changes lives. That's priceless. Man, it's precious. I'll tell you right now, I would trade everything I own to go to God's heaven. Everything, every possession, every coin, everything I've got. Man, I'd be willing to trade it all away in order to receive forgiveness of sins. Here's the good news. The price for my salvation was paid for 2,000 years ago. And that brings me to another thing here. Let's go to the next verse. And that'll bring me to another point. Because, getting right and living right and dressing right and talking right and doing right, you don't do it because you have to. And you're not walking with God if that's what's going on. Not that people don't need to be taught and instructed and trained and that kind of thing. But you ought to do it because you're in love with Jesus. Period. Period. There's not a thing in my garage that I wouldn't trade for myself. Mac, I'll trade everything. I take somebody go clean that garage out. That'd be just fine with me, all right? There's not a thing. There's not a piece of clothing. There's nothing I would trade. I would trade anything in order to be born again. But I got born again all of grace. It's all Jesus did all the work. That's why the songwriter said, all to him I owe, because I do. Verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net, and was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. That's talking about the millennial kingdom, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. And by the way, God will make no mistake. Anybody who is truly born again of the Spirit of God is going to God's heaven. That's it. And he won't make no mistake on the other side either. You aren't going to slip in, maybe saved. You either get saved or you're not saved. Jesus gives the interpretation here. Verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world, and the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? And they say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. They understood some of the kingdom truths. Now Jesus is talking about New Testament as well. And in that treasury is the new, the old and the new. And they're both together. There's one way to get to heaven. One way to get to God's heaven. This last week they made a big to-do about a former boxer. I grew up watching him. That's when I first understood that my mom was a boxing fan, Muhammad Ali. And I refused to call him that for a lot of years, Cassius Clay. And I don't care what they say, he was a draft dodger. I don't care, you know what? And he was a Muslim. And he converted to the Muslim religion and used it to his advantage. Okay, la-di-da, he did some good things. I'm with you on that. This last week, he had his funeral service, and they made a big thing about the fact that it was ecumenical. And ecumenical sounds noble. I know it does, but it's not true. There aren't 100 ways to heaven. There's one. There's not two ways to heaven. There's one. And Muhammad didn't rise from the dead. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I was going to tell you a funny story about my mom, but I won't do that. She hated Cassius Clay. Man, it should have been in our living room when those fights were going on. Man, it was unbelievable. Sometimes I watch my mom more than I watch the ring. What was going on? But at any rate, he was no Superman. I'm sad to tell you. If he, at the end of his life, didn't receive Christ as his Savior, he's not in God's heaven. I don't say that out of meanness. He got on an airplane one time. He was afraid of flying. And he got on an air, but he was boastful. Got on an airplane, and the stewardess said, buckle up now. It's time to buckle up. And he wouldn't buckle up. He said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And the stewardess looked at him and said, Superman don't need no airplane. Buckle up. It's a good deal. It's exclusive. The gospel is precious. The gospel is priceless. The gospel is particular. That's what Jesus was teaching about the wheat and the tares. Man, there's only one way. You can be a pretender, but if you don't possess, you're not a possessor. You're not going to heaven. In verse 49 and 50, he talks about hellfire. That's real. Great sorrow. Great pain. Gnashing of teeth. Verses 51 and 52, he speaks of the scribes and the teachers and how if they got the truth, they better get the whole truth out. Here's the point. Heaven is not for the elite, but there is an exclusive way to get there. It's only Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Period. Definite articles. The way, the truth, and the life. Straight is the gate. That's Matthew chapter 7. That leadeth unto life eternal, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way. Ecumenicalism. That leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. By the way, just for radio listeners, I am not a hater. We are not haters. We just believe the Bible. Amen. In fact, we love people. We even love the Muslim people. They need Christ. They need to be born again. It doesn't matter what their color of their skin is. It doesn't matter what their walk of life is. They get saved. Then they start growing in grace. Then they become the kind of child of God that God wants them to be. That's what it's all about. Hooking people up with the Bible. That was the first parable. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We'll go there in closing. Matthew in chapter 7. I read this last week. I'd like to read it again here this morning. To the 1.6 billion Muslims that are in the world, Muhammad doesn't forgive sin. You say, oh, they're sincere. They're sincerely wrong. There are a lot of false religions where people are sincere. The Bible is holy writ. The Bible is God's word. Bible doctrine is the truth. Let God, like Peter said, let God be true and all men a liar. God's truth is never going to change. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let me read this in closing this morning. It's what we closed with last week. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In the journey of life, from your heart, there must be a time in your life when you cry out to God in repentance. I said at the beginning of this message, it may have been during Sunday school. God is a merciful God. His mercy is everlasting. There's one prerequisite to receiving God's mercy. Check it out in your Bible. Repentance. And anybody can do that. You don't have to be a great intellect. You don't have to be somebody of means. Repentance. If you'll repent, if you'll be sorry for your sin, you recognize your need for Christ. You're not joining something. You're getting saved. As the child of God, I'll maybe preach on this evening a little bit and tie it into the book of Nehemiah. I can do that very easily in what needs to be said here, but you ought to serve God because you love him. Because you love him, he is priceless. He is precious. He's one Lord. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, come to Jesus. All seven parables, that's what we're learning. The answer's in the book. The book that God wrote. It says there's one way to heaven. And his name is Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.